tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope that each and every one of you this past week has had a week full of blessings and good things for you and your family. On January 19th of 2020, which was several days ago, people from all over the world celebrated Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And I'm a little behind with this message, but now is still a good time to talk about it. January 22nd of 1973 was the day that the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand in all 50 states. Churches all around the United States used the day to celebrate God's gift of life, to commemorate the many lives lost to abortion, and to commit themselves to protecting human life at every stage. Churches continue to recognize the third Sunday in January as the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. I am pro-life. I oppose abortion. But just because I feel that way, I'm not trying to push my beliefs on any of you. Everybody has a different view about this. But before I go any further, today's message is Choose Life. And I want all of us to take a moment to bow our heads in prayer for these unborn children. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for waking us up to be a part of a brand new day and another opportunity to serve you. Father, you are the creator of all things. You breathe life into every human before they even leave the womb. Father, we don't know how to stop something this horrible on our own. It's devastating that abortion has weaved its way into many people's mind and as an acceptable choice. Please stop the enemy's lies from seeping into the minds of the confused and take away the voice of the wicked. Father, help us to have compassion on the women who have made or were forced into making this horrifying choice and are now suffering the consequences of those choices. Surround them with your love and remind them that your sacrifice covers even this, and those who belong to Christ are free in Christ, free from the guilt of every sin. Break the chain of guilt for those who have repented before you. Revive them to live their life knowing true joy in you. Father, help us to remember the unborn who are unwanted and tossed aside every day. Help us to be a light in the world of darkness. Give us opportunities to share the word to the world. Use us to offer alternative options to women in desperate situations. Father, we pray that our government will change laws and close the doors of abortion clinics. We pray for renewal of family and faith in this world. And Father, please anoint this vessel today and let the words that I speak come straight from you and not from my own understanding. In your Son Jesus' name. And we thank you for these answered prayers. And all of God's children said, Amen. As I said, thank you for joining me this morning, and thank you for joining me in that moment of prayer. So let's begin, shall we? Legalized abortion is one of the most controversial topics in the world. Some are okay with it, but there are a lot more that are against it. The intersection between faith and politics is a really tough place to be in, and it should be entered into with caution and care. If we don't go at it with a spirit of love, we can actually do more harm than good. But sometimes we have to follow Jesus where our basic convictions cross paths with matters of public policy. You shouldn't expect to impose our own spiritual convictions on other people. But when our culture moves in the direction that causes injustice, oppression, and undue suffering onto others, we are called to be willing to speak up and to offer an alternative vision of life. I did a little bit of research this past week, and I came up with a little fact sheet for all of you. As of September 1st, 2019, which was not quite a year ago, 29 states were considered hostile toward abortion rights. 14 states were considered supportive, and 7 states were somewhat somewhat in between, on the fence. Also in 2019, 58% of women of reproductive age, which is nearly 40 million women, lived in places where it was considered hostile to abortion rights. But in contrast, 24 million women of reproductive age, which is 35%, lived in places that were supportive of abortion rights. The highest abortion rates were patients in their early to mid-20s. And then another alarming fact that I found was that 24%, one in four women, will have at least one abortion in their lifetime by the age of 45. Most of the women who decided to have abortions were from very low-income circumstances, had been raped, or just felt trapped, thinking they had nothing to offer these unborn babies, or perhaps they were even pressured by a boyfriend or even a parent to get an abortion. There were other reasons, too, but these were the most common reasons mentioned. And I found a more recent blog, which really was just astonishing to me. I found a more recent blog last night as I was doing more research in preparation for today that was posted just this past month in January of 2020, you know, just a few short days ago. These numbers literally took my breath away. In the 45 years that abortion has been legalized, there have been an astonishing 59 million human beings who never got a chance to live their life. To shed a little more light on this, in comparison, Hitler is estimated to have been responsible for the murder of 6 million Jews. Now, that's not to put it into the same category, abortion, with the same category with Hitler, because they are two separate categories and two separate issues. But there were a lot more startling facts, but I won't get into all that right now. Abortion is a very complicated subject. It invokes so many issues, and it evokes so many emotions. It is hard to even talk about it, much less suggest what to do about it. But the complexity of the matter is not an excuse for inaction and indecision. If we are truly followers of Jesus Christ, folks, then there should be a clear conviction in our hearts and in our minds that God cares deeply and passionately about the least among us. Jesus would associate with everyone when he was alive, even those that other people would not associate with. These other folks were put into a certain category. Like, society back then would put certain people in categories such as maybe the cast aside or the ignored. But Jesus cared, and he was deeply concerned for all human beings. He went where others wouldn't even dream and associated with people that were the least of these. It's hard to even imagine a category of people who would be more easily cast aside than the unborn. They don't even have the ability to speak for themselves. They don't have any control over what happens to them. They are completely at the mercy of others. Surely our faith in Jesus ought to move us toward finding a resolution, speaking up, giving alternative ideas to keep the unborn alive, and to be a light in this dark place in the world for those women out there in the world who really need someone to show them that they have other options, that that's not the only option. There are lots of options. You know, there's adoption and just all kinds of different things, you know. Anyway, I won't dwell on that. In Matthew 25, the Bible tells us that Jesus said, "Whatever we do to the least among us, we are actually doing to him." When we neglect those who are so vulnerable, especially those who cannot even care for themselves, we are neglecting Jesus himself. And that, my friends, is some very serious business. God is not pleased when this happens. It grieves him to watch his children when all this is happening, and for us to not do anything about it, not to try to make the situation better. Don't think for a moment that it doesn't involve you, that you should stay out of it, that it's none of your business, thinking that there's nothing that one person could possibly do. So why bother? Friends, I'm here to tell you, that is the wrong attitude. That is not what Jesus would have done. And if you obey God, he will give you opportunities, and he will equip you when the time comes for action. And with that said, I must include something else for you to think about too. The moral standard that God spoke of in the Bible applies equally to every category of people. And in all honesty, there shouldn't even be a category, because in God's eyes, all of us are made equally. But in today's society, there are categories. And so the moral standard that God spoke of in the Bible applies equally to every category of people who are vulnerable and in need. We can't act a certain way towards some things and then turn a blind eye to the refugees, the poor, the sick, to the person of a different race or religion. Jesus doesn't give us the option of loving some and yet despising others. But for now, the issue that we are talking about is abortion. We do not have the authority to limit our compassion on the basis of one thing or another. We can't make those decisions, for they are not ours to make. And the great debate over when life begins is simply an effort to put limits on the reach of our love and our mercy. Friends, it is not our decision to make or to try to define when or if an unborn fetus is considered a non-person. God clearly states that it is still a living life, no matter what. No matter at what stage, if it's one day or 2 months, that is a living being. Before we get any farther, though, I want to go ahead and go to a short break. So I would like for you to please stay tuned in and join me back here on the Hope Show after this short break. And the first song is called Rescue by Lauren Daigle. And folks, I got to tell you, please listen to this song carefully. And listen to the next one, too. He's got the whole world in his hands. But Rescue, oh my goodness. Every time I hear that song, the hairs just come up on my back, you know. And it's just so powerful, folks. And so hope you enjoy these two next songs. And please stay tuned and join me after this break.
You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. Hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue you. There is no distance. It cannot be covered over and over. you're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter, I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS.
I will send out an army to find you.
And thank you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I am happy you've decided to join me, and if you're just tuning in, we are celebrating the Sanctity of Life Sunday a few weeks late. Today's message is Choose Life. Let me back up a little bit and recap for those of you who have missed the first part of the message. We're talking about legalized abortion. And, you know, I don't mean to say, you know, I'm pro-life, I oppose abortion, but in the same sense, you know, if a child is going to die, and potentially the mother will die also, or the mother will definitely die, you know, that's a different story, because, you know, if the child is going to die anyway, and there's no way of saving that child, then why should the mother die also? And so in those extreme circumstances, you know, I would say save the mother's life. in those extreme circumstances. But if the baby will live, and the baby and the mother both will have a life, a good life, a quality life, that is what I'm opposed to terminating. And so I just wanted to clarify that before I continued on with the show, because that would be the only extenuating circumstance that I would say, okay, save the mom. If it's just 100% certain, baby's not going to make it, and mom isn't either. And so, anyway, legalized abortion is one of the most controversial topics in the world. There seems to be a great debate going on as to whether when life really begins. But God tells us that He knew each one of us when we were not even in our mother's womb yet. God also says that the days of our lives are written in the good book. God has a plan for each of His children. But when we decide who must live or die, then we take God out of the equation. And since January of 73, 45 years ago, abortions have been legal. And now, 45 years later, to current date, 59 million unborn human beings will never get a chance to live life as God has planned for them. They were cheated out of an abundant, prosperous, joyful life, careers, a family, children of their own, and even grandchildren of their own, when another human decided that they knew what was best for them. But that decision is not for us to make, friends. God is the only one with that kind of power and that kind of authority. A lot of abortions occur because of low finances, bad living arrangements, crisis pregnancies, violence, rape, and sometimes, I even hate to say this, but sometimes women have selfish motives. They just aren't ready to be a mom or to settle down. They still want their freedom. But whatever the reason is, there is no good excuse for aborting a life, no matter if the life is only a few days, weeks, or months old. With the exception of what I just mentioned right after the short break, that if the child and the mother will not make it, they will not live. That would be the only exception. So, the Bible teaches us that sometimes we have to forgo our rights for the sake of the kingdom of God. There comes a point in all of our lives which our willingness to seek the good of others overrides our determination to what we think we are entitled to, what we think we're entitled to have. And I say this because the abortion debate is often framed in terms of rights. Society and politics have the mother's rights to choose pitted against the child's rights to live. The legal system argues that the unborn child doesn't yet have any rights. But as believers who live by the undeserved grace of God, we shouldn't be thinking about life in terms of rights. Life is a gift from God. We didn't earn it. We did not choose it. We were simply given it. The unborn are gifts from God, and there should be no place for the legal system to have any say about the unborn babies. We have a moral calling, folks, to respond to all life as the gift that it is. God is the author of life, and it is not our place to end it. Even when that life comes to us in ways that are challenging and or inconvenient. So what else does the Bible say about the unborn? Well, one verse in the Bible from Psalms 139:13-16 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them even came to be." And in Job 31:15, the Bible tells us, "After all, God is the one who gave life to each of us before we were born." Friends, I can't stress this enough. I can't stress it enough. God is the giver of life. He is the one who decides when our days are up and when we will be rejoined with Him again. Life is not the result of chance. It is not an accident that any of us are alive today, or those before us that had lived too. Life comes about because God gives. He gives life to each baby before birth. Friends, God put into law from the beginning of all time a standard of moral behavior, and we are not to cross that line. There is such a moral decline in our society, and has been for so many, many years. We need to open our eyes to our surroundings and try to make a difference right where we are. In Genesis 1:26-27 and Genesis 9:6, the Bible tells us, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood also be shed." God himself singled mankind out for the unique privilege of being created in his image and his likeness. One of the Ten Commandments, in fact, says, "You shall not murder." And that's in Exodus 20:13. So how does that fit in to what we are discussing today? And the answer to that question is this: God made man in his image, and abortion is the calculated taking of a life that created in God's image by God himself. A person who decides to have an abortion has essentially overridden God's commands, taken life into their own hands, and done away with God's most precious creations. Let me go on further to share some more verses from the Bible. In Nehemiah 9:6, "You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them as well. You give life to everything, everything. And the multitudes of heaven worship you." In Job 12, verse 10, "In God's hand is the life of every creature, and the breath of all mankind." Friends, life proceeds from God. God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Genesis 2:7, friends, life comes from God, okay? Life comes from God. God is for life, which means that God is pro-life. Friends, I know many of you may not have the same beliefs as I, and you are entitled to your own opinion. We are not all the same, and it's not my place to judge someone for their opinion. But God will do that judgment on Judgment Day, and we will all have to give an account for our deeds on this earth. And I'm not trying to push my belief on any one of you, but I am pulling this message straight from the Bible. The abortion industry is a culture of death. The Sanctity of Life movement is a culture of life. And That is a huge contrast. Abortion is the death of an innocent, unborn life. This life didn't do anything to you. He or she didn't ask to be born. He or she is completely dependent upon its mother for safety. He or she is a tiny, helpless form in its mother's womb. The unborn life is your responsibility, but it's not God's way for he or she to be put to death at the mother's hand, but to bring he or she into the world as God has planned. God has already written that baby's life and all those babies' lives in the book. And God has a plan for each and every baby. As I said, though, you know, the only exception in my mind would be if, for whatever reason, that baby was 100% not going to make it and Mama wasn't either. But God has a plan for every baby. If the baby isn't born, then the plan is left unfulfilled, and no one but God would have known what that baby was going to grow up to be or do with his or her life. And what a tragic waste of precious life. While still in the womb, the unborn baby is an ongoing, creative work of God. And there's even been studies that babies do feel the pain. And I'm not going to go into all of that, but there is research that shows that babies do feel what's going on to them in the womb. The abortionist puts himself or herself in the position of an arrogant opposition to what God is doing, and then terminates the life of the baby that God is creating in the womb for much greater things in life. In Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5, the Bible says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you." Wow. You know, I continually thank God for my children. They are all grown up now, and now we have some amazing grandchildren. And Shaziz and I pray for each and every one of them, our children, our grandchildren, and their spouses, significant others. We pray for each and every one of them daily. Was raising our children hard work? Certainly. Were there times of hardship and exhaustion for Shaziz and I? Absolutely. Of course. Were there times of great concern? Yes. But the blessings of our children and our grandchildren far, far, far outweigh any short-term difficulties or inconveniences or whatever. Because children are gifts. They are rewards from God. They are precious in the sight of the Lord. And ours, our children, our grandchildren, they are precious in our eyes. Shaziz and I love our family. We love our children. We love our grandchildren. Couldn't even imagine missing any one of them. They are each so unique and precious and special and made in God's image in their own way. If all of us were made identical, it would be so very boring. But each of our children, as all children, are made unique with their own gifts and their own talents. Friends, let's celebrate life. Let's celebrate the children. Ty and I, Shaziz and I, we celebrate our children every day because they are so precious and they are so wonderful in their own unique way. They are so talented. God made them perfectly and wonderfully made in His image as He did each and every single one of us. And the alternative to life is death. Death is the enemy, folks. Satan is the enemy. Satan is right in the middle of all these unborn lives. He confuses us. He makes us feel hopeless and helpless. He makes us believe that we can't raise a child, that we don't have anything to offer a child. Satan keeps us distracted in constant turmoil and chaos. That is Satan's game plan for us, for all the mothers of the unborn. If the lives of the unborn babies are terminated, then Satan wins over God. Satan likes nothing more than to drag each of us away from God. Commit to being aware and purposeful, on guard, studying the Word of God. Stay in prayer. Don't wander off of the righteous path that God has chosen for us to live our lives on. Folks, when we get off the righteous path, it is very dangerous indeed. Very dangerous. It's literally a life and death situation, not only for the unborn, but for you and I as well. With that having been said, let's go ahead and bow our heads as we wrap up today's message by saying a prayer for the sanctity of life. Dear Heavenly Father, you are creator of all and the giver of life. You have created mankind in your image to reflect your glory to the world. And we praise you for the work that you have done on this Sanctity of Life Day. Though we are celebrating this a few weeks late, we mourn that many of our precious sons and daughters have lost their lives too soon. We grieve at their absence today and always. We are a broken people, and we have sinned against you in so many ways. We humbly come before you and know that we have all fallen short, and we ask your forgiveness for our sins. Dear Heavenly Father, please restore us to right relationships with you. Open our eyes and our hearts and our minds and even our hands as we seek to serve you. May we truly be your hands and feet in this world, serving others like Jesus came to serve, loving others like we are to love ourselves. Thank you for today's message. I pray that every one of our eyes will be open to this sensitive topic and the fact that we all play a part in making a change happen. We can't idly sit by and do nothing, not if Jesus lives in our life, in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. And in all of these things, we thank you in advance for the things that you will do for us, the things you have done for us, and the things that you will continue doing for these unborn and for these mothers. Lord, we just pray these things in your Son Jesus' holy name. And in all of God's people said amen. And so, just for a moment, I'm going to throw my husband in here. And I caught him kind of unawares because his eyes just popped open real wide. And so I kind of surprised him with this, but he's sitting here beside me. And I just want to ask him for just a brief moment to elaborate on today's message. What do you have to say? Is there anything extra that you have to say or to add to this message?
Every single piece of the puzzle, every little gear in the machine, this amazing creation that we've been blessed with, it's all important. You take one little gear out of that machine, you take one piece of puzzle out of that machine, of that amazing creation, and you never can get the big picture, and things just don't work right. So every single life is so incredibly valuable, more than you can possibly imagine. And sadly enough, we lose too many for so many things, but this one particular subject's painful enough. What you said earlier about, you know, if mama's going to die and the baby's going to die, no matter what, that still makes it a hard choice.
Yes, it does.
God said, thou shalt not kill.
Thank you, Shazes. I appreciate that. That was a good last word. Friends, I have thoroughly enjoyed sharing the past hour with you. I hope God's word has resonated in each of your hearts. Abortion is a serious matter. Life is a serious matter. We can't take this topic lightly. We can't ignore it. We must get involved and try to shine God's light on the matter in a dark world. So won't you please, 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 help the unborn, help the mothers out there. If you know someone who is contemplating abortion, please, please, please tell them that there are other options. Friends, go out there and make a difference. Save a life. It's just so important. It's so important. And like Shaziz just said, every piece of the puzzle is important. And even if when those pieces are missing, you can't get the big picture. And so when one misses out, we all miss out. So with that having been said, I want to say God bless you and your family. I hope that God puts a hedge of protection around you and your family all of this week and beyond. And so until we meet again, same time, same place, next Saturday, Shaziz and I both wish you a very, very blessed week. And we love you. And we'll see you back here again next Saturday.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly love. Us and our children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must follow.